Hello and welcome to the Bellingham Real Estate Podcast. I'm Paul Balzotti. I'm here with Ian Krause. Welcome, Ian.
Thank you.
Ian is a realtor with John L. Scott, and you also have experience with Airbnbs, managing Airbnbs, which is the topic today, Airbnbs. And so let's get right into it. So talk to us about your experience. We're going to cover basically your experience in Airbnbs and then kind of from an investment standpoint, what it would look like to buy an Airbnb, because I think a lot of people are curious about that, like what that process is like, what it's like to own one. I think a lot of people, when they're thinking about from an investment standpoint or a second home standpoint, you know, getting involved in that and being a guy that has managed Airbnbs, tell us about what that's like.
Yeah, totally. Paul, thanks for having me in. This has actually been a common question since I've been a realtor here is I actually get phone calls from other realtors around Whatcom County calling and asking me, just different rules about Airbnb, what homes are good homes to buy for their clients. So I'm happy to be able to come in here and kind of answer some of those questions so I can just send them this podcast.
Next time
someone asks. So just kind of to recap, let's see, I bought my own personal home in Bellingham about 3-4 years ago, and we decided last second to turn it into an Airbnb. It went really well with the income we were making. We're actually generating double the monthly income had we just rented it out long term.
Yeah.
Through that, there were some friends and family who saw me run the Airbnb. And you know how word of mouth goes. Before I knew it, I was managing, I think 6 was the most I managed at one time. I've cut back a little bit now that I'm a full-time realtor, but I still manage. I have 2 right now. And then we just started a new one, which I can tell you about in Sutton Valley.
So, well, when you say you're managing them, are you talking about everything from, are you posting them to Airbnb and the websites and all those kind of things too, to Airbnb.com and HomeAway.com and those kind of things?
Yeah,
as well, the whole thing?
That's a really good question. So I guess for anybody looking at potentially having a home and having it be an Airbnb, looking at who's going to be managing your home is a huge factor to look at. So what I do is I charge 20% of the total money that the house makes. And then what's included in that is basically the homeowners are like, they're hands off. So that includes, we'll do like, once the home's ready and furnished, we'll come in, we'll do the photos, we'll upload it to the Airbnb platform. I have experimented with using other platforms, VRPO, maybe you've heard of that one. Furnish Finder is another one I've experimented with. And then, so we get it up on the platform. And then the other thing is just handling all guest communication. And the big one that's the hard one for a lot of people to do is managing the turnovers.
Yeah.
Which are basically just, as you know, the cleanings in between guests.
Yeah.
So that's what my management fee is. It's kind of like a hands-off, and at the end of the month, the owner of the home just gets an invoice.
So I have an Airbnb in Arizona, and we use a large company that is not very good, and I want to switch and change.
Which I actually heard they're starting to branch out and come into Whatcom County.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'm not going to recommend them. I don't want to put them on blast, but I definitely want to go to down there to a smaller, you know, group and the less large kind of Airbnb companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should also point out, so when you hire a manager like that, it's the turnovers, the marketing, but then also like the little things like maintenance issues that come up, you know, tenants have a problem that come up and they say, you know, how do we get this to work? You know, plumbing repair. I mean, it's literally property management and then the management of all the stuff.
Yeah.
And then also, of course, the marketing. So it's quite layered, actually. And of course, most homeowners do manage, you know, they're involved. There's some hands-on to it. Mm-hmm. But you kind of have to also keep track of, like, when the garbage goes out, those kind of things too, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of just summarized what's involved with managing, but there's actually, if you were to like break it down, there's a lot of small things. I kind of just said guest communication. Yeah. But yeah, it sounds like you have some experience with it. So you know that like there's little things that break all the time. So something gets clogged, you have to get a plumber out there. So we have a handyman that will come out and handle all that stuff. Yeah, the garbage, getting that in and out.
Linens.
Supplies, like making sure to restock, and you have like not only just the cleaning supplies, but just like the wear and tear on a home. You have to like constantly be like having the backup set ready for the next guest, because the last thing you want to do is get a bad review on that.
You had also brought up there's different ways of managing. What some people like to do is they like to be more hands-on,
and they will actually just, they'll have their own account on Airbnb and they manage it, and then they just hire a manager, which is usually someone that more just takes care of the turnovers and cleanings. Oftentimes it can be a cleaning company. So that's one way that you can kind of cut back. Because I know when people hear 20% fee, they're like, oh, that's expensive. So I do know people who, you know, they maybe pay 5, 10%, but then they're a lot more hands-on.
There's a website that I used to use. I'll drop it into the link for this, but that is like a 10%, and they do all of the leasing and the advertising and all that kind of stuff. So they, it's kind of the opposite. So I think you can go that way where you do your own advertising and you have somebody who manages just the manage part. Mm-hmm. But then you could also go the opposite way where you have somebody else do the managing, the booking, and then kind of the general customer service around the booking. Mm-hmm. And then you're just managing, you're hiring your own cleaner that has to kind of go through them, but is kind of generally managing it, so that if you just don't want to deal with the client and the booking, mm-hmm. you know, so there, it seems like there's multiple ways, a lot of ways that people kind of, you can skin a cat with this. But kind of moving ahead to the next topic I want to get to, because, you know, we could actually talk about just that for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I have a lot of other things.
But if you, we're here as realtors.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, as realtors, somebody wants to buy a home and they're thinking about making it to Airbnb. They're buying a home in this area. And we're talking about Bellingham and Whatcom County specifically. They're thinking about buying something either strictly as an investment for cash flow, or as a second home, but that could make a great Airbnb. What are some of the attributes? So somebody calls you today and says, Ian, I want to work with you on doing this. Obviously, knowing what they're looking for makes a big difference as far as like different people are looking for different things in a second home. But generally speaking, what are the kind of fundamental attributes of a good Airbnb?
Yeah, totally. So I guess there's a big distinction here, because there's a lot of laws and regulations, especially in Bellingham right now. And so there's kind of, I kind of have two answers to this question. The first one is looking to make sure that home they're interested in the correct zoning. And then the second part of it is just, as a home in general, what kind of attributes are good for a home that bring in guests. So I don't know which one you want me to answer first.
You take your pick, man.
Okay. I mean, I'll just get down to the zoning really quick, because honestly, that's the biggest thing when you're looking at wanting to have an Airbnb in Bellingham. And that's the biggest hurdle that owners come to. And it's better just to get that out of the way before you start getting the weeds of like how amazing this Airbnb would be in Bellingham, and doing all the research, figuring out how you're going to do the interior design. And then you find out that you can't actually do it because it's not zoned correctly.
Right.
So it's really just, if you're looking in Bellingham, Washington specifically, you're looking for two different types of zoning, which allow short-term rentals or Airbnbs, which is under 30 days. That's considered a short-term rental. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be in commercial zone areas and urban village zone areas. Okay. So if you were to pull up a map of Bellingham, there's not a whole lot of homes in those zone areas. But those areas, you can rent short-term, you can do short-term rentals for 365 days out of a year.
And that's in the city of Bellingham.
Everywhere else, when you're looking at residential zone homes, the city has really tried to crack down on who's allowed to do short-term rentals, because, as you know, we have a housing crisis here. I don't call it a crisis, but where we're trying to get more people into homes. And so if it's a residential zone place, you can only rent that home for 95 days out of the year. Mm. And it has to be your primary residence.
Okay.
So that's a big factor when people are wanting to buy, especially a second home.
Yeah.
Okay. So now knowing that, you can look for urban village zoning, commercial, or you can start looking outside of the city limits of Bellingham.
Right.
And so if you start looking into Whatcom County, all of a sudden there's no regulations on short-term rental.
And unless the neighborhood HOA restricts it. And that, yeah.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And that kind of goes along with condos also. I mean,
sure.
People ask me about that, like, but condos, if there's any sort of HOA, that's a huge red flag. And that really comes down to the bylaws of the condo and the HOA. For the most part, they don't like short-term rentals. Of course, there's always like maybe one or two that you can get away with it. But for the most part, you're not going to be able to do a short-term rental if there's an HOA. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're bringing up a really valid point around the good distinctions of an Airbnb, because ultimately, because there's a wide swath in the city of Bellingham that's not available for that, it's like, it's really super important that you just identify the areas first, essentially, that they're willing to consider, that they're interested in, either for a second. Because I would say, what in your experience, what's the percentage of Airbnbs that are essentially somebody's second home that they want to use, but then rent out most of the time? I would say that's most Airbnbs, right? And then there's some that are just strictly for just pure cash flow. But I feel like most people go that route because they want the ability to be able to stay there sometimes. So then the location is going to matter. So it's like, we got to figure out on that map, those urban growth areas, which I believe are expanding a little bit in Bellingham, but still limited. And then kind of out in the county, that what's not an HOA, that allows for it as well. So you start there. Then what now they say, okay, I'm looking for something with, you know, a lake view, or I'm looking for something that just is rural and kind of, you know, feels cabin-y or something. I mean, they kind of go through this or that they're looking for personally, but then what other kind of attributes are you looking for, as far as, is there some sort of kind of, from a financial standpoint, a way that you're trying to kind of navigate giving them advice on what's going to probably pencil out better than something else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, this isn't like rocket science,
right?
I'm sure when I say this, you're gonna be like, "Oh yeah, of course." But like when you're looking at imagine that you're a guest and you go on Airbnb. Everybody's done that before, right? The homes that catch your attention the most, usually, it's one of two things: one, the location to wherever you want to be, or two, it has some sort of like unique attribute that you probably don't have at your personal house where you're at, right?
I think that's pretty good insight for sure. Cause I mean, I don't feel like you're, don't discount that.
Okay.
Because, and by the way, especially if you're an out of town buyer, you know, those insights, as far as like, you could be like, oh, you could look on a map and be like, oh, there's stuff by there. Mm-hmm. But we know, you know, what really are the super most attractive areas, you know, in town, and what's what.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and what's really walking distance for what it says the walkability score. So the location, clearly, that's a huge thing. And then, that's a great point also about the uniqueness of the place, because you hear about these all the time where it's some really cool looking, you know, octagon home or something. And it just gets a lot of Airbnbs just of the novelty of it or whatever, some things like that.
Yeah, totally. And then, I mean, of course, there aren't like those, what kind of home did you just call it?
I was thinking
a sphere.
Even a really cool A-frame that's
that's a great example. Yeah. I was going to say there aren't a whole lot of sphere buildings if you're looking at Whatcom County.
True.
But there are quite a few A-frames, especially if you're looking out in like Sutton Valley, or if you head out Mount Baker Highway. You know, Glacier, there's a lot of really cool A-frames. And I really would put that in like a unique category. Mm-hmm. Just anything that's a little bit different. I mean, it can be something like, I mean, having water is a huge one. Like if you're on the lake, or if you have a pool, a hot tub, even a sauna right now, like those little things, of course, that comes along with the maintenance that you have to do with it. Those make a huge difference as far as like how many guests are going to come to that home. Another thing to kind of like think about when you're buying a home is how big of a home do you want, right? Like we actually just listed a home in Sutton Valley. It's a really big home. It's like 3,500 square feet, 5-bedroom home. And it's totally different than like a home that I have in town that's 900 square feet and sleeps two people, you know? Both of them are good depending on what you're wanting. The one that's in town, 900 square feet, and it sleeps less people, of course, you're going to be charging a lot less. I would say on average, the nightly rate for a home like that in Bellingham is roughly 150. Of course, it like really fluctuates, as you know, like the winter months here are a little bit slower in Bellingham, then it really picks up and we have a lot of people coming into Bellingham in the summer. So it bumps up to like 200 to 250. But it's going to be...
That's for a little two-bedroom.
That's for like a smaller, yeah. like, yeah, smaller one, two-bedroom place yeah. in Bellingham. But the flip side of that is there's a lot of people who want to come and stay, and they don't have, you know, they just want to come up for a week trip or a weekend trip. They're not going to like call everybody they know and get like a group of 10 people mm-hmm. to go out to like this home in Sudden Valley, for example. So it's kind of two demographics that you're marketing to.
Yeah,
so
you might have easier, sorry, but no, keep going. But more, you get higher occupancy rates on the smaller ones, potentially.
Yeah, exactly. So like you can have upwards of like, you know, it could be rented for, if you're allowed to rent it for the full 365 days, you could have upwards of like 25 days could be booked, you know, but it's for a little bit less. And then if you're in the Sudden, like the Sudden Valley home, for example, where it's a 5-bedroom and it can sleep up to 8 people, odds are you're not going to be booked up as often, but you're probably going to be booked up on the weekends as long as you, it's a nice Airbnb with a few like unique characteristics. But the nightly price is going to be a lot higher. It ranges roughly from $200 to $500 a night. But there's so many things that go along with it. So like if you were to get a big home, now you have to think about the maintenance costs that we were talking about.
Yeah.
And the turnovers and cleaning fees.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, if you have a big home like that, you can't get that home turned over in 24 hours so it's ready for the next guest. So now you're having to block off the day the guests check out, and then the day before guests check in to make sure you have time. So all of a sudden you almost have like one guest staying per week. So you want to factor that in when you're doing your budgeting.
I know that throughout the country, there was kind of a bubble the last couple of years after like right with the, in the end of the pandemic, the Airbnbs were just going crazy. And so a lot of people were buying Airbnbs. I know, you know, in Arizona where mine is, mm-hmm. you know, it definitely rates have dropped dramatically. But still, there's still always people that are renting it and things like that. Mm-hmm. But just the rates are not as astronomical as they were in Arizona. In Bellingham and in Whatcom County, do you still feel like there's a strong market for, you know, for more Airbnbs? You know, have the rates come down to quite a bit, or have they stayed relatively the same over the last couple of years?
Yeah, Paul, that's a really good point. And it's nice because you actually have that Airbnb, so you have this personal experience to go off of. And I would completely agree. When was that? 3 years ago now?
We just try to erase that out of our memory.
Pandemic. But I think maybe it was post-pandemic. Like, there was a huge surge in Airbnbs. People want to stay at Airbnbs. I've definitely noticed that also in Whatcom County in Bellingham, where there hasn't been as many people coming to stay as there was before that. And so to answer your question, I think it really depends on your situation. I mean, if you're going to get a home that is in one of those zone areas, and if you have a good game plan for it, it's a great potential for someone if you have money to put into that home, especially with the new laws that have passed in Bellingham, like regarding the zoning and the ADUs. There's potential for someone to... It could work out very well for them.
So with the ADU law, which if we didn't, if someone hasn't heard about this yet, in Washington State, you can now build up to 2 ADUs on a property if there's no neighborhood restrictions against that. And now you can do up to 2 ADUs. Of course, you got to have the space for it, but even in some cases without the same parking restrictions as well. So we're seeing this ADU growth. If you purchase something, a property or in a commercially zoned area or in the urban growth zoning area in the city of Bellingham, for example, you might be able to have an Airbnb house and then build one or two Airbnb rentals, or maybe you keep this house as a rental and these two as Airbnbs. A lot of potential there, a lot of value now in that land. So what's your perspective about how the ADU laws are going to affect, you know, things moving forward in the Airbnb world?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was referring to earlier, is like there's definitely still potential for Airbnbs. You just have to be in the right areas.
Yes.
But like you said, that urban village and commercial zone areas, now you can put multiple ADUs. All of a sudden, you could have upwards of 4+ Airbnbs in there, depending on how you do it. So there's a huge potential there in those areas. But it's important to note that in the other residential areas, you still can't do short-term rentals for under 95 days out of the year. So that is one downside of trying to build an ADU there. It has to be a long-term rental for that. You can't do a short-term rental.
And unless you did, that's a really good point. And unless you did, but if you built an ADU, you could still do 30-day, right? 30-day furnished. It just has to be a minimum of 30 days.
And that's a great clarification.
Yeah.
Short-term rentals is 30 days and under.
Yeah.
Anything over 30 days, that's considered long-term. So you absolutely could do that. And then Airbnb is kind of a loose term. Like, you can rent an Airbnb for a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you could totally go that route where you furnish it and then you're renting out to month plus stays. And that's kind of where things come in, like a furnishfinders.com is like a for traveling nurses, like that sort of thing, where that might actually be appealing for certain people if they were to put an ADU in there.
And totally.
And then maybe the downtime, they have family that want to come stay, or, you know, you can get kind of creative with that open space.
Well, you brought up, if you're doing the 30-day on an ADU, you have the finders. We built the website.
Yeah, Furnish Finders.
Furnish Finders. But then also you get people, we know you get buyers that are relocating here that just want to stay here for a couple months and check out the area.
Mm-hmm.
And so you definitely can get, you know, just literally home buyers who just want to like stay in a cool area for 1 to 3 months while they're looking to see if they want to live here full time. Mm-hmm. And so that can be great for that too.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a great plug, because I do have a few Airbnbs in Bellingham and in Sudden Valley. So if you are looking or interested in buying a home in Bellingham or Whatcom County, you could definitely reach out to me. And if those are available, I'd be happy to talk and set something up there.
Well, yeah, that's two reasons to reach out to you, because we got, if you want to just buy for your primary residence, then you might be able to hook them up on an Airbnb for the short term. But if you're looking to invest into a second home or buy a second home, this guy obviously knows what he's talking about and be of great service to help you. So reach out to Ian, and thank you for joining me today, Ian. Thank you for watching or listening. Please subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or give us a 5-star review if you are on iTunes. And thanks again, guys. Cheers.